Welcome to the Voice of Triumph, the audio ministry of Life of Faith Bible Church and Stephen Frazier Ministries, an outreach that is dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Frazier with today's message.
Are you ready tonight to get into our series on the healing techniques of Jesus? We're covering all the different healings in the Word of God. You know, all the different accounts of Jesus' healing ministry. The Bible doesn't list all the individual healings that Jesus had accomplished while he was here on the earth. The Bible actually says that if they were to record all the healings and everything that he did, that the world itself couldn't contain the books. So that's a lot of stuff Jesus did that we don't have here written in the Word of God. But we believe that what is in the Word of God is exactly what we need. And it's perfect for us. And it's efficient for us to show us everything we need to be able to walk in divine health and to bring healing to others. You know, if we're going to be proclaimers of the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to see ourselves as healing technicians. Because the Bible says in Psalm 107 that he sent his word and healed them. So the very word that we're called to proclaim is a healing word. It's to bring healing to others. And of course, you know, I think of Proverbs chapter 4, where the Bible says that the word is life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Health, healing. Another translation reads medicine. It's medicine, healing, health to all their flesh. What is? God's word. God's word is healing medicine. So if we're called to minister the word, then we're called to minister healing. Right? Doesn't that make sense? You can't separate the healing from the word. There's a lot of folks out there trying to separate the healing from the word. Say, well, this is God's word. We know it's the word of God, but God don't heal anymore. Well, then he don't word anymore. Because his word is life to those who find them and a health, medicine, healing to all their flesh. You can't separate the healing from the word of God. So we got to be good at sharing the word to people, thus bringing healing to people. Now, last time we were talking about the blind man at Jerusalem, the man that was born blind over there in John chapter 9. And Just a quick review on just a couple of those things. You know, people say, if God is such a good God, then how can an innocent little baby be born blind? How could that happen? Well, you know, I like to say, what God are you talking about? And that kind of throws some people back, you know. What God are you talking about? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god of this world. Now, how did he become the god of this world? Well, he became the god of this world because Adam, who is given dominion, absolute rule and authority over the earth, sold out to Satan and committed high treason against God and gave Satan the authority that man was supposed to have, and thus making Satan the god of this world. Well, he's not a good god. He comes to steal, kill, destroy. He's the one that is behind sickness and disease and all the terrible, tormenting things that happen to people in this world. So there's a devil loose. And that's one of the reasons why a child can be born blind. It isn't necessarily because the parents did something wrong. You know, the disciples asked, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, we know the man couldn't have done it because he was born blind. He wasn't even here to be able to sin to cause himself to be born blind. So what they were saying was, what did the parents do? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. In other words, neither. Well, then how did this happen? We know sin is what brings sickness and disease and blindness and all these ailments. We know sin is behind that. Sin is what brings these things. So then how did it happen? Original sin. Adam did it. Adam sinned. Adam sinned. And that's what could cause people to be born with birth defects. Now, of course, there are sins that parents could commit. You know, they can do drugs and they can do a lot of things that are wrong that would cause a child to be born with defects and so forth. But that's not always the case. So we can never just, you know, say, oh, they're sick, or they're afflicted, they're having a problem. We can't do it with children. We can't even do it with one another. Because we understand that because of the original sin that is in the earth through Adam, sickness is in the earth. Satan is in this world causing problems. And if he can cause problems for believers, he'll do it. He'll try to mess up a believer and make him sick when that believer's living a righteous life. So it isn't necessarily that they did anything wrong. So we got to watch about judging and thinking that somebody, you know, if they lived differently, they wouldn't have the issues that they're having. Now, the good news is that Jesus said neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the work of God should be revealed in him. What was Jesus saying there? That the man was born blind by God so that he can do a miracle in the man's life? Of course not. That was the work of the devil. What Jesus was saying was the same thing we looked over there over in the book of Judges with Gideon. When Gideon asked, why are we like, if you're a God of miracles, like we've been taught, why are we in this condition? And the angel said, go in this might of yours. Or we could say, go in this faith of yours. You believe in the miracles of the Word of God? Go. In other words, go out and I, through you, will change your situation. I, through you, will change this situation. So we look at negative situations as an opportunity to change them, to turn them into a positive, to take what the devil meant for evil and turn it around for the good of all and for the glory of God. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're empowered to do. So we're not a bunch of folks walking around going, why? We understand a lot why things happen. But more than that, we're learning how to change it. We're gaining understanding on how to fix the situation, to fix the blindness, fix the deafness, fix the sickness, fix the situation through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the healing word of God. Amen. So we're just looking at negative things that happen in our life and in the lives of our loved ones and other people that we meet as divine opportunities. Divine opportunities. Even though it was demonic what was brought upon that person or came against that individual, we've got divine power behind us to change it. And that's exciting. I said, that's exciting. So that's how God fixes messes. He does it through you. Now, if you don't go, then messes don't get fixed. And people wonder, why such a mess? And the answer is, my people who are called by my name are not going in my name and allowing me through them to clean up the messes. They're waiting for someone else to fix it. They're waiting for something else to happen, or they just don't believe flat out that I do these things today. And that's why there's messes. We're the janitors. We are the janitors. We're the supernatural janitors in the world today. So instead of sitting and saying, why is this mess? Get out your mop. I mean, can you imagine? If, you know, we got a healing team. We got a cleaning team here. We do have a healing team. But we have a cleaning team here in the church. We got a clean. Imagine if they just walked in here and said, why is the carpet dirty? Why is the kitchen a mess? Why? I just don't understand it. Oh, and they leave. They come back a week later. Lord, why haven't you fixed this? I don't understand. I'm believing you, God. It's just getting dirtier. The carpet's more dirtier. Things are more in a mess than they were last time I came. And then another week goes by. They come back and think, my goodness, there's even more rubbish on the floor. There's more of a mess going on. When are these things going to get straightened out? Come, Lord Jesus, come. Meanwhile, God's like, take out your mop. Take out your vacuum. Take out your dirt devil and clean that thing up. Amen. And that's what we're learning. We're learning to clean up the messes. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And then we saw, you know, again, God, he not only works through us, he works through what he has here in the earth. You know, when Jesus healed that man, what did he do? He made mud. And he put the mud on the man's eye and healed him. Eyeballs didn't fall out of heaven. Our provision isn't going to fall out of heaven. It's kind of vain to look up for it to come from heaven. It's going to come through people. Are you with me? That's how God's going to bring about the healings and the deliverances and fix things. He uses the things, he uses the people and the things that are here already in the earth. Isn't that neat to know that everything you have need of is already here in the earth? A lot of stuff that folks are crying about, it's right under their nose. It's right there. It's in their house. They have everything they need. They just don't know how to utilize it. Just like in some of these other countries, you know, third world countries, people are starving to death. There's no food. The Bible says that there's a lot of food in the uncultivated ground of this world. But for a lack of justice, people are starving to death. People aren't drawing out of the ground what is there available to them. And I think that'll help us a lot if we'll understand that all the money, all the provision, everything you have need of, it's probably right there. Right there in your grasp. It's not far away. But if you think everything's far away and you're looking up to the sky waiting for something to come down, way out there come to you, then it's harder to believe for it. But if you understand, I'm walking on it. This man's eyesight was on the, it was on the ground that it was in the dirt that he was walking on. Your provision is it's right there. It's under your feet. It's all around you. We just got to have discernment, be sensitive to the Holy Ghost on how to just take it. Take it. Manifest it. Reveal that work of God. Reveal. It's there. It's got to be revealed. It's there. It's just got to be revealed. God works through the creation to cure the creation. And so tonight, we're going to talk about blind Bartimaeus. Let's go in our Bibles to Mark, the 10th chapter. It's over in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but we're going to just look here at Mark as Mark goes into the most detail. And it says in verse 46, now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, it's an amazing thing that this blind man understood who Jesus was. He knew that he was the son of David. In other words, he saw something that a lot of people that had eyes that could see could not see. He saw. He knew that Jesus was the son of David. In other words, he is the Messiah. He understood the Old Testament. He understood that the Messiah was referred to as the son of David because he was going to come through David's lineage. And so he's calling out boldly, thou son of David. I mean, he knows without a doubt that's who this is. And yet you think about all the religious people and most of the Jews, they didn't know it. They had no idea he was the son of David. Having eyes, they could not see. So this man was already a lot better off than a whole lot of the people around him, even though he could not physically see. And I'm telling you what, it is as terrible as it must be to be physically blind, frustrating that can be. I'm telling you what, not being able to see the kingdom of God, not being able to see Jesus as Lord and Savior, that is a hopeless state to be in. To go off into eternity not being able to see Jesus for who he is and be born again. Thank God our spiritual eyes have been open. And I believe that's even a greater miracle than physical eyes being open. Amen. Having our spiritual eyes open is even greater. Hallelujah. We can see things that most of the people in the world can't see. Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for they see what a lot of righteous folks in the past desired to see but could not see it. Friend, we're hearing things and we're seeing things that it's just amazing. Just amazing. What an awesome thing to be able to see what we see. This man saw it. Now, it's interesting because I believe every word in the Word of God is important and significant. Just the way that reads there in verse 46, they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho. Now, as he was going out, that's when Bartimaeus began to cry out to him. He was by the road begging. Now, he was probably by that road begging daily because this was his livelihood. This is how he survived. It was by begging for money, for food. And so it's interesting that it's on the way out that he's crying out. And not when Jesus was coming in. Perhaps it was because he didn't know Jesus was the son of David until Jesus came into Jericho and spoke and ministered. And perhaps it was in hearing the word that faith came. Because we understand faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's how faith comes. So this man must have heard the word of God. How would he have heard it? Unless Jesus came into his vicinity. Well, he did. He came in. The man's quiet. He's not saying anything. And then Jesus is in Jericho for a certain amount of time, preaching, ministering. He hears about it, he's hearing testimonies, and he gets the revelation. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of David. And he becomes thoroughly convinced of it so that he begins to cry out. Now, he was called Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, which some think signifies the son of a blind man. So he was the blind son of a blind father, which made the case even worse and the cure even more wonderful. He cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Notice that part. He began to cry out and say. Notice he didn't just sit quietly. No. He raised his voice. He began to say something. He began to cry out and say something. How many of you know faith without expression is dead? That's what the Bible tells, especially over in the book of James. Faith without expression is dead. Like I said before, and we got to get a hold of this. There's a lot of folks that have faith. The problem is they have no expression of faith. They express their fleshy feelings. They express their opinions. They express what the news media is saying. They express a lot of different things, except their faith. And so there's a lot of faith that's just wasted. See, again, it goes back to you really have everything you need already. It's already in your possession, including your faith. You've been born again. You've been filled with the Spirit. You've been given the Word of God. Friend, you got faith. I'm convinced of it. I know you got faith. And if you recognize that you have faith, then bless God, you wouldn't be so desperate to try to get faith. You would just begin to give expression to the faith you have. And really, that's all that a lot of miracles are waiting for. A lot of things that we're believing God for is just waiting for a good expression. It's waiting for you to express it. This man said something. Faith, number one, has to speak. It has to be released through our speaking. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says that we believe in our heart, that's faith, and therefore we speak. Therefore what? We speak. So the man is speaking his faith. Not only is he speaking his faith, but the man is intense about it. He is crying out and saying. There cannot be strong faith without strong desire. There cannot be strong faith without strong desire. I'm telling you, that's something to get a hold of right there. There cannot be strong faith without strong desire. Bible says over in Mark 11, Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire, and he was talking about faith. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Faith and desire are connected. Not much desire. Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, I would like God to take care of that. I would like God to fix that. It'd be nice if he wills. If God wills, you know, whatever he wants to do, you know, God is God. Whatever he wants to do. Does that sound like a lot of desire? No, and it ain't a lot of faith either. A lack of desire shows a lack of faith. You know, you remember over in James, he says, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. Some of you need to look at it. Hold your place in Mark there and go back there to James. Get you lit up a little bit. How many want their faith doing something? Well, let's set the thing on fire then. Let's stir up your desire then. Because if your desire is sitting down on you, your faith is asleep. Right? Because faith works through your soul, and your soul is the area of your emotions. So faith has to work through your soul. So you got to stir your soul up. Stir up your emotions so that your faith can be released. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of things that try to quench our passion for God. Try to quench our emotions when it comes to the things of God. Try to make us just emotionless. Without any passion, without any really strong desire. We're kind of passive. We're kind of just believing God. Well, you're not just kind of believing God. You're not doing anything if there's no passion there. Look here. It says in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be what? Huh? Healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Notice that. You want to experience some healing? Get passionate. Get passionate about it. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amplified Bible says it this way. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Woo, hallelujah. Makes it available. Praise God. It's right there. Access it with some passion, with your desire. So he was saying some things and he was mixing it with fervent desire. Verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet. We're back over here in Mark 10. Verse 48, then many warned him to be quiet. This is church. Shh. But watch this. But he cried out all the more. Don't you love him? Now that's a faith that won't shut up. That's a faith that won't back down. And thus that's a faith that will not be denied. And thus that's a faith that will not go without. He's going to get what he's believing for because he's not backing down. Think about how intimidating that is. I mean, you know, you got a crowd of people looking at you and you go, shh, nobody's doing that. Nobody's yelling. What are you doing? This is your whole, quiet. Who do you think you are? Shh. Now add to that, the man's blind. And you got people saying, warning him to be quiet. How do you even defend yourself? Somebody might hit you. You know, some of those religious people, you know, even the Pharisees, they weren't some of the most friendliest people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what they did, remember what they did to Jesus? And they grabbed him, they tried to throw him off the cliff of their city, that their city was built on. I mean, there's some rough people. Now, he knows the kind of folks he's living amongst. You know, I mean, they'll throw dirt up in the air, throw rocks at you. They'll oh, man. They're passionate for a lot of the wrong things. And they're saying, you better watch, you better be quiet. He's like, Jesus! All the more. Risking his life, not just his reputation. Risking his life. But he won't quit. He cries out all the more. And they're trying to quiet him. You know, man will always try to make you conform to their image. Society is always working, of course there's a spirit behind it, to try to get people to conform to their image. But faith breaks the mold and is transformed. If you're going to operate in faith, you've got to be willing to break the mold. Break out of the straitjacket that society would try to put you in, that man would try to put you in. Last night we had gotten this in prayer, that in order to have the spectacular, we must be willing to be a spectacle. Now, a lot of folks don't want to be a spectacle. They just want to fit in. They want to be that other brick in the wall. They just want to fit in. They don't want to ruffle any feathers. They don't want to draw any attention to themselves. They don't want to stir anything up. They don't want anybody to recognize them. They just want to kind of sneak in and sneak out. They'll sneak into church and they'll sneak out of church. They're sneaky. The folks that won't come to this church, it's not big enough. They can't sneak. They can't sneak in and sneak out. Somebody's going to get them by the hand and say, God bless you, brother. And it's going to scare the tar out of them. Just want to sneak in and sneak out. I don't want to be seen. So you're the light of the world, but the problem is you're under a bushel. You might as well not be a light at all. That's where a lot of folks are. But faith isn't afraid of being a spectacle. Faith isn't afraid of being on display before others, in order to glorify God and to have his best. It's not trying to show itself off, but it wants to show off and reveal the works of Jesus. It wants to reveal the works of God. It wants to lay hold of him. And many times, God uses foolish things in order to confound the wise. And he might lead us in a way that is foolish, absurd, looks ridiculous to unbelievers and untaught people and undiscerning people. And a lot of folks, therefore, will back off because they don't want anybody to think they're strange or weird. And they worry about themselves so much that we see no miracles. We don't see many things, many supernatural things from God being revealed. So let's not be afraid to be a spectacle. This man wasn't. If you're afraid to ruffle feathers, you'll never fly very high. Verse 49, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Wow. God stops for those who are unstoppable. They couldn't get this man to back down. They couldn't get this man to quit. They couldn't get this man to stop. And so what happened? Jesus stopped. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. God's eyes are running to and fro. He's looking for someone that he can show himself strong to. Who's he going to stop for? The ones that are unstoppable. The ones that won't quit, the ones that stay on the word of God, raise their voice, press in, make a spectacle of themselves, do whatever it takes to have them. They're the ones that are going to see the mighty hand of God in manifestation in their life. Mark it down. He stops for the unstoppable. Jesus came into Jericho and he went out of Jericho. He came and went in a lot of people's lives, but he didn't just come and go in the life of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus stopped him from just going. There's a lot of blessings from heaven just coming and going every day. We got to know how to stop them. We got to know how to stop them by faith. Verse 49 again. They called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you. Now you're going to say, this is the same group of folks that were just warning him to be quiet. Be quiet. He cried out all the more. They probably really threatened him. But then Jesus stopped and said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. And immediately the man had favor. A man that had no favor upon his life suddenly had the favor of the multitudes in just a moment. Just one word from Jesus. Just one word from Jesus. And what happens? Bam! The man has favor. Now the people that despised him, hated him, wanted him to shut up, now they're like, oh, come, come. I'll walk you to him. Excuse us. I'm with him. This is Bartimaeus. I'm with Bartimaeus. I grew up with Bartimaeus. He's been a really good friend. Remember me, Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus, you remember me, don't you? I'm the guy, I threw some money in your pan the other day. You remember Bartimaeus? Suddenly, he has all kinds of favor. That's very interesting. You know, most people will follow the crowds more than God. They'll follow what people are doing. If people are over here, then it must be important. If people aren't over here, then it's probably not that important. And that's how most people are. They're going to follow where the fuss is. They're going to follow where the people are. Because people are more important to people than God in a lot of cases. And of course, Satan is behind that. Do you remember when Jesus rebuked Peter for yielding to Satan? And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. For you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. All you care about and all you think about is man. What's man doing? What does man want? What does man think? See, that's how the devil thinks. And that's how the devil tries to influence us to think. So we got to guard ourselves from this. We got to watch, because it'll what? Because it'll keep us from walking in the healing power of Jesus. It'll keep us from walking in the miraculous. What will? The fear of man, conforming to this world. That's why he said, do not conform to this world, but be transformed. He said, don't follow the crowds, follow the Holy Spirit. Follow your convictions. Let what God is speaking to you through his commands and through conviction in your spirit, let that be the thing that leads you. Let that be stronger to you than the opinions of man. It's a lot of this fear of man and worrying about other people that keeps us from walking in God's best. We need to put our shoulders back, lift our head up, walk tall, and know, bless God, I'm a child of God, and I know in whom I have believed. And you better believe I go to Life Faith Bible Church. That's exactly where to go to. And we speak in tongues. And you should have been here this past weekend. We were running. It's embarrassing. I've had people look at me and say, that church will never grow with you acting like that. Stick around. I'm growing. Are you growing?
Yes.
Are you growing?
Yes.
We're changing, aren't we?
Yes.
Then we're growing. Isn't that the most important thing?
Yes.
We're being changed. We're being transformed. We're growing. We're going to follow his plan.
Yes.
Even if he says, go build an ark on dry ground. We're just going to do whatever he tells us to do, no matter how foolish it is. And let them all mock. But we're going to be transformed through our faith, not conform to this world through unbelief and fear of man. I'm telling you, this is a big part of breaking out and walking in the supernatural, walking in the miraculous. It's growing up and growing out of the fear of man. Can you say amen? Jesus said another place. He said over in Luke 16, verse 15. Luke 16, 15. He said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. We need to remember that. In other words, where the majority's running, where the crowds are going, where things are popular and exciting in the flesh, those things are usually an abomination to God. The way to destruction is wide and broad. There are many that travel that way, but the way to life is narrow and there's few that find it. Let's find ourselves on the narrow path. Let's stay with the few. I tell you what, you know, it doesn't make me feel insecure that I'm amongst the few. Actually, it has the exact opposite effect on me. I feel so privileged. It's like, wow, all this for me? Wow. Really? I mean, like, we don't have to have millions of people to have these treasures? No, just for you? Wow. I think it's an awesome thing. Don't you? He gives us all this stuff just for us. Verse 50. And throwing aside, so Jesus calls him, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Now, why is this garment mentioned here? Well, because this garment is actually very significant. Notice over here in Exodus chapter 22. Hold your place and go with me there. Exodus 22, 25. If you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you. How many people know Bartimaeus? He's out begging. He must be very poor, right? If you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, you shall not be like a moneylender to him. You shall not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For this is his own covering. In other words, he doesn't have a house. He's living out on the street. Bartimaeus was living out on the street. He was a beggar. This was the garment that kept him warm at night. This is his only covering. It is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries out to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. See, this garment that he was wearing signified his status in life. That he was a blind beggar. That's who he was. He was a poor person. He was blind. He was a beggar. The garment said it all. And so when Jesus called him and said, "Bring him to me." And they said, "Come on, come on. He's calling you." Bartimaeus got up. And without even thinking about it, he just took off his garment. This garment that he needs to sleep in at night. This garment that has been his shelter. This garment that has been his security blanket. It's been his comfort. He took the thing and flung it off. Why would he do that? Because he knows it's over. I'm coming to Jesus. I'm about to see. My dad was blind. I was born blind. But I'm going to see today. Friends, this is amazing faith. Are you kidding me? This man doesn't know what it's like to see, but he knows he's going to. In just a few minutes, he knows he's going to see. And in faith, he said, "Bye-bye. I won't be needing this anymore." Hallelujah. And they brought him to Jesus. Verse 51. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." I like that. That I might receive, not that you might give me sight. but that I just might receive it. Help me to take hold of it. So here he is standing before Jesus in faith, and yet he's still not seeing, is he? He's still blind. But man, he has thrown off his security blanket. What kind of security blanket you got you're dragging around? Huh? I think there's some folks probably even in this room maybe tonight that are walking around with a little blankie. They got a little blankie. And they're just kind of dragging their blanket. You don't see it because it's spiritual. It's in their soul. They get all kinds of little insecurities, little hang-ups, little quirks, little fears. Huh? You just tug on their blankie a little bit. And they start freaking out. They start losing it. See, a lot of folks got to fold it up in church. And sometimes I can tell you, I'll just preach on something, I'll hit a certain subject or something, and it's like you start pulling on people's blankies. Oh, yeah. And they said, and you start getting the looks like, ooh, I hit a nerve there. Okay. There's been people I've pulled on their blankies so hard that I knew that I'd never see them again in this church. Oh, I knew it. I felt it. I see it all in the face. Like, just a week ago, I love this church. This is an answer to prayer. This is one of God's in this place. This place is going to explode. I'm serious. And then a week, this happened well more than one time. Over the course of 20 years, I'm telling you. It's going to explode. It's just incredible. You can feel the love. You feel the presence. It's here. And then I start saying things like, well, I won't say anything about that tonight, but. And then all of a sudden, you just, you jerk their blank off, right off from underneath them. And I look at them, ooh, they ain't coming back. No more, no more. They ain't coming back no more, no more. Oh, where's your blankie? That's up to you. I'm not trying to figure out your blankies. Relax. Don't worry about man. Don't worry about me. I think some of you think about it long enough, you'll find a blankie. What's your little hang up? It's keeping you from the miraculous. It's keeping you out of the supernatural.
I believe God, I confess, I speak it.
And I have this blankie problem. And it's just enough to keep you in the flesh. And keep your ceiling low. So you can't go very high in God. Identify your blankie. That's the title of this portion of this message. Identify your blankie. Your little security blanket. That thing you're hanging on to. It's an insecurity problem. And you need to face up to it and throw it off and trust Jesus for your security. Trust Jesus for your peace. Trust Jesus for your entertainment. Trust Jesus for your excitement. Trust Jesus for your joy and peace. Trust Jesus. Stop putting pressure on people. Stop having all these hang-ups and quirks and throw it off. Give it to Jesus. Repent of it. Stop excusing it. It's keeping you down. Keeping you from the supernatural. Well, my mama had it. My daddy had it. This man's daddy was blind and he was born blind. But that didn't stop him from throwing off his blankie. Getting rid of his little security blanket. Are you with me?
Yes.
Didn't stop him. Faith is unstoppable. I said faith is unstoppable. See, we covered a lot of things here tonight that are answers to why we're not seeing miracles and healings, even though they're easy and right under our nose. Because there's all kinds of quirks and issues that are keeping us back from it. Jesus is there. He's here in manifestation. But this man, if he wanted to experience healing for himself, he needed to do something. He needed to throw that thing off. And thank God he did. He trusted Jesus for his security. He knew he was going to be all right tonight. He knew tonight he wasn't going to be lying out on the street cold without a blankie. He knew Jesus was now his covering. Jesus was going to take care of him because he understood the graciousness of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So Jesus said in verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." That I may receive my sight. Again, he needed to say to receive. He needed to say what he wanted to receive, because when we speak by faith, when we say things by faith, we are receiving. Our saying is receiving when we say things by faith. Did you get that?
Yes.
Jesus knew what the man needed, but Jesus needed him to say it so that he could receive it. There's things you have to say to receive. So our saying is receiving. Our saying is not hoping for. Our saying is receiving. When we say it, we're receiving it. We have what we say. Verse 52, then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received, he took hold of his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Notice that. Jesus said what? Your faith has made you well. Where did Jesus put the emphasis again? We've seen it time and time again as we've gone through this series. Where did Jesus put the emphasis? Did he put it on God the Father? Did he put it on the sovereignty of God? No. He put it on this man's faith. And it's the same way today. If this man's faith healed him and made him well, then your faith will make you well. And that word "well" there is that Greek word sozo, which means to save. We use it when we talk about salvation. It means to save, to rescue from danger or destruction, from injury or peril, to make well, heal, restore to health, to preserve, to save from eternal destruction. So notice that being saved from eternal destruction goes right along in the same Greek word as being healed. Being healed. Being rescued from danger or destruction, from injury or peril. So if we're going to receive salvation, sozo, and be born again and know that we have eternal life with God, then what goes right with that? Healing, deliverance, being rescued, protection, it's all right there in that word sozo. Hallelujah. Jesus said, your faith has sozoed you. Your faith has healed you. It has saved you. It has delivered you. It has rescued you even from eternal destruction. Wow. Has your faith saved you? How many of you believe they have eternal life? Oh, glory to God. How many of you believe they're healed? Should be just right there with you. Same thing. You're healed. How about delivered? Like addictions and quirks and... I've been delivered. Come on, I've been sozo. I've been saved. I've been healed. I've been delivered. And stop messing around with it. And let's move on. Let's walk in that. Let's throw it aside and take hold of Jesus and trust him to take care of us. We don't need that thing anymore. Somebody say, I don't need it anymore. It's over. I'm throwing it aside. If this man can throw his garment aside and do what he did, then I can throw whatever I need to throw away. I can throw aside whatever I need to throw aside. Hallelujah. No turning back. No turning back. He received his sight and notice and followed Jesus on the road. What road? Jesus is on the road at this point to Jerusalem and to the cross. And Bartimaeus was right there with him. He followed Jesus on the road to the cross. no longer to live for himself, but to give himself entirely to the Lord. He didn't just get something from Jesus, but he gave his life to Jesus. He's now a follower. That's where a lot of folks miss it too. It's just, they're just in the getting mode. They just want to get from God. How about give your life to God? You give your life to God and you get all that God's got. You get eternal life. But you can't take eternal life and hang on to your life. If you hang on to your life, then you don't have room for eternal life. You got to give your life, and then you reap abundant life. You reap life, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this is very interesting to note that in the other account over in Matthew chapter 29, that there were actually two blind men mentioned. That's right. Bartimaeus was actually not alone. Now, Luke doesn't say that, or Mark. They just mentioned Bartimaeus. But here in Matthew 20, verse 29. Now, as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." And the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion. There's that compassion that wasn't mentioned in the other account. But Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. So it didn't mention that he touched their eyes in the other account. But he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Now it's interesting that there was an unnamed man that was with Bartimaeus that Matthew is letting us know about. But there's no real deal made about him like there is about Bartimaeus. So why is that? Well, it could be because Bartimaeus' faith might have been the leading faith. In other words, if it wasn't for Bartimaeus, the other man probably would never have done what they did together. There's some things that some folks will not do themselves. But with the support and encouragement of someone else's faith with them, they may go twice as far, three times as far as they would go, as they would have gone on their own. That's why it's important to be together at church. When we come together, man, there are things that we stir one another up in concerning faith in God. Come on. I mean, you get around some believers that are ready to shout, and it sure makes it easier for you to shout. Amen. Right? You get around some believers that are shaking in their shoes, and bless God, it makes you feel a little bit more like you want to get radical. Right? So I believe Bartimaeus, he was the leading faith. He was the guy that probably shouted out first, and then the other one joined in. He gained courage being around Bartimaeus. Let your faith bring courage to other people's faith. Let your faith draw out the faith in the other people around you. Don't be the wet blankie. Back to that blankie again. You know, if you have a security blanket, you're going to be a wet blanket when it comes to faith. Did you get that? Your security blanket will turn into a wet blanket and quench faith if you hang on to that. You got to let that thing go. Amen. And so we don't want to be a wet blanket. We want to draw the faith out of one another. I want folks to get happy about Jesus when they're around me. I want folks to be a little bit more radical for Jesus when they get around me than they would be when they're not around me.
Pastor, you just provoked something in me. You caused something to come out of me that I don't do at home. I get wild in this house. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. We need one another. We shouldn't be pulling on one another. We shouldn't be like these religious folks. Quiet. You know, you get a little excited. Everybody else looks at you like, oh, golly. She's at it again. Listen to that laugh. Oh, my goodness. Laugh a little louder, Kim. Hallelujah. Stir it up. Stir it up, bless God. Let's stir one another up. Amen. I believe Bartimaeus stirred up his buddy that was with him, and bless God, as a result of that, his buddy was able to get in on the miracle. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Amen. Are you a wet blanket? Or are you a blessing? If you're a blessing, stand on your feet. If you're a wet blankie, stay in your seat. Because we're going to have another service just for you. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to do it too. We're going to be doers of this word tonight. Let's go before the Lord right now. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for the light of your word. Help me to see those things that hinder me, that hold me back. Oh, Father, strengthen me in my faith. Help me to rise up and let go of the past. Let go of my security blankets and take hold of you. Trust you with my life. I'm ready to go your way, a new way. I'm going to do it differently now. However you would lead, I am willing to let go of the old, to embrace the new. Thank you for helping me do it. Even tonight. Hallelujah. Why should we go another day? Why should we put it off another day? Let's just get it done tonight. Amen. Tell them, say, I want to get it done tonight. I'm ready. I've heard the word. I believe the truth. I'm ready. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Here we go. Here we go. Come on, reach over your shoulder. Reach over your shoulder and say, here we go. I'm coming to Jesus. And I'm leaving behind all things that trip me up and hinder me, things that I depend upon rather than God. I release it now in Jesus' name. Just cast it off right now. Praise God. Cast it off. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.